should stand with me. James 5:13. James writes a letter to the church about restoration. There is not a one of us in here that doesn't need to be recovered. You remember the sermon I preached about being recovered? Even a tree's got a covering. Everything needs a covering. And so sometimes you get uncovered and things come out and things happen, but everybody needs to be recovered. And so James is writing about restoration, and he writes, and Brother Valentine hit all around it. Thank God he didn't go to James 5 and 13. Is any among you afflicted? He said, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, wow, a double blessing, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults. This is tough, but confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, he gives us an example of all of these three put into one. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Thank God for this book that has examples I can look at. Hallelujah. Thank God that he didn't just choose perfect people. He chose people that had failures that I could relate to. He said, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth then brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I want to title this morning. I know you don't want to pray this, but I'll give you my title anyway. Pray for rain. That was it. I didn't know it was going to be storming all service long, but we're going to pray for rain. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Lord, I'm thankful for your spirit today. I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for the difference you've made in my life, this church's life, these people's life. God, if the world only knew that serving you is worth everything you think you give up for all that you gain, Lord, they would surely be here this morning. Bless us this morning as we endeavor to teach your word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, the Bible is a great teacher and a schoolmaster, and the Bible says it's full of examples that we might understand the word. Jesus taught in a parabolic method. He laid the worldly by the side of the spiritual. So if the wind is like this, it's like this in the spirit. If it's casting a net and catching fish, it's like this. The kingdom of God is like that. And he was able to compare things. And even Nicodemus told Jesus one night, he said, I know that thou art a teacher sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. But when you look at the disciples, you won't find that they asked God to teach them to do anything but one thing. What did that disciple say? Teach us to what? Teach us to pray. They didn't come to him and say, teach us how you did that miracle. How did you turn that water into wine? Come on, tell me how you did that. How did you do that when you call that man out of that tomb? How did you do that? Tell me those words. Let me pray. Lazarus, come forth. Well, it didn't work for me. How did it work? They didn't go to him trying to get these things out of him. He said, teach us how to pray. Because they realized that before he called Lazarus out of the tomb, he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. For their understanding, do I ask this thing? Because he already knew. I know that thou always hear me. I'm glad to know that when you pray, he hears you. Sometimes you may not think he does, but he does. So James is writing this letter to the church about various kinds, believe it or not, of famines. And he asks this question. He says, is any afflicted among you? Did you know an affliction is a famine? That's what it is. It is a famine of being tormented and in distress. It's not necessarily a bodily sickness. It's just, I'm afflicted. When Delilah told Samson, I'm going to afflict you, it wasn't the poking out of the eyes. It was afflict his spirit. And so affliction, he said, is there any afflicted among you? Anybody in the famine of affliction, now watch close, let him pray. He didn't say call for the elders right here. He said, let him pray. An affliction is any spiritual suffering, trouble, distress, torment that you may be going through that's continual, having an emotion on feelings upon you that makes you not function like you should, and you're putting up with and putting up with and putting up with. It's an affliction. It hinders you from doing the will of God. It says, let him pray. This is how you're going to get out of that famine. You got to pray. Now, after he told us how to pray, or told us to pray, he didn't actually say how to pray. But you know what you're really praying for? That God would bring you back to normal. When you look at all the healings that Jesus did, you name them, it brought people back to normal. We pray for all kinds of stuff, cars and houses, and that's phony stuff. Buying this, buying that, buying whatever you want to. I just want to be normal. How about you? I just want to be made whole. He never asked anybody, do you want the house? He said, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to go back to normal? That's what we're talking about. That's what he came for, to restore you, not to be Superman, to be back to normal. And so any afflicted among you, he said, let him pray that he gets out of this famine and normal is returned to him or her. Then he asked, he said, is any sick among you? It's a little different thing now. See, he's talking about three levels of different prayer. He said, is any sick among you? This is the body. The first one's the spirit. Now we're talking about the body. Any sick among you? Anybody in the famine of sickness? I'm just sick. I'm not feeling well. It's going on too long. It's dragging me down. And I've been going to the doctor and I've been doing all these things. I'm in a famine of sickness. He said, let them call for the elders. The affliction, he said, you pray. But on this one, you call. Brother Baggett didn't call me and he knew I was sick. That's not biblical. The Bible says you call. It's your faith that's got to reach out. Not just me, you. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anointing him, the Bible says, with oil. That represents the Spirit of God. And of course, the bodily pain that Christ went through. By his stripes we are healed. And it talks about, you know, an olive is crushed and how that oil, the pain that it goes through just to get the oil. Sickness is this bodily illness that continues on. And we need to call the elders to pray. But you know, he didn't tell them how to pray. He didn't say, rebuke that sickness. Tell that sickness to leave. He didn't say that. He just said to pray. But he's going to teach us something when we get to Elias. So stay with me. And these afflictions, these sicknesses are two physical kinds of ailments that we have that we many times can keep you. Do you know your sickness can keep you from worshiping God? Sure it can. Do you know afflictions can keep you from worshiping God? Sure it can. Well, then don't you think God wants you well so you can worship him? Sure he does. We need to learn how to pray, and that's what I want to teach you this morning. Then he goes on to the next step, which is kind of involving somebody else. It's not just you. It's not just you and the elders. This is you and your brothers and sisters and so forth. Confess your faults one to another. I've done that this past week with somebody in this church. I said, brother, if I've offended you, I'm going to tell you I'm sorry. Because sometimes we do let our mouth kind of go places it shouldn't go. And he said, oh, no, that's fine. But I'm confessing my fault. Why? That I may be healed. I want my mouth right. Confess your faults one to another. And many times you may not be the wrong one, but you still got a fault in your heart about what somebody else did. And sometimes they're waiting for you to confess, then they'll confess too. You ever notice that? Once you say, well, look, I really, no, man, it was me. It was me. And it may have been them. But we got to learn to confess. Then he says, after you confess that you may be healed, and he said, pray one for another. So we had pray for yourself, right? Call for the elders and they shall pray. Now we got pray one with another. So he's teaching us something about prayer. Now this confession, see, the first one was about affliction, was more about spiritual problems that you have, trouble and distress and so forth. Then you had bodily problems, and now this one is about your soul, healing your soul, confessing your faults. You can't be saved without confession, right? If you don't confess your sins, confessing your sins saves your soul, right? Repentance is confession. And so now we have body, soul, and spirit. We have all three of these things right here in this passage of Scripture. And so when you pray one for another, what are you going to pray? He doesn't say, here's how you need to pray. He doesn't say, well, brother, I pray you don't ever say that about me again. I pray you don't ever do that again. How do you pray? Let me tell you, all that prayer is about is praying that God to restore me back to normal. So in this passage of Scripture, he talks about the body, the soul, and the spirit, things that can be drugged down and things that can be harmed by other people and even your own self. But sometimes you have to pray for yourself, sometimes you need to call for the elders, and sometimes you need to pick up the phone and say, pray for me, brother, sister, and let's pray together about this situation. But a famine is when things are not normal. A famine is when things are not normal. It's not one night of hunger. Sometimes, you know, I don't mind being hungry during the daytime. I don't like to go hungry at bedtime. If I wake up hungry, you'll find me in the pantry. I don't like to be hungry when I go to bed. It's not one time hunger or 2 days or a week. A famine is a long extended time of not getting what you need. The Bible says there will come a day where it won't be a famine of food or of water, but for the hearing. We're there, brother. I'm sick of old stories and fables. They said they'll turn to fables and things like this and hiring men have itching ears and so forth, and people turning to this. It's still you're washed by the word of God. And there's a famine, he said, for the hearing of the word of God. And so there's all kinds of famines that we can go through, body, soul, and spirit. And James teaches us how to pray by using Elias or Elijah as an example of how we should come out of this famine that we find ourselves in. Because many times as the Scripture says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. We keep rebuking the wrong thing. So the first thing James lets us know that the prophet Elias was subject to like passions as we are. Boy, I'm glad he put that in there, because all I see is a guy riding a carpet around. I just see him taking a mantle and parting waters. How many of y'all done that? How many of you parted waters? See, so I'm glad he put in there he had weaknesses too. Because if you just show me all the Supermans, I can't relate to that. And so he said, he lets us know he was a man that was subject to like passions as we are. So he brings it down to us. And so this man could have temptation just like you have temptation. And you know, he did. And you will. But we need to know this, that there's no temptation that's not common to man. Whatever got you got somebody else before it got you. There's no new trap you fell into. We are not ignorant to Satan's devices, but yet we can still fall in their traps. My mama told me that stove is hot. I still touched it. Now I don't. But she told me. Do you remember when Jesus was praying in the garden and it was his soul was troubled and in distress? He was kind of in a famine of hearing from the Father. I mean, heaven was shut up to him. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Never heard a word. I remember one time the heavens opened and said, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. But today when he really needs him, the day he really didn't seem like he needed him, Father said, you're doing good. But the day I needed him, where is God now? Famine from hearing from God. And he said, if it be possible, let this come pass from me. Then he had to answer his own question. Watch in Matthew 26 and 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if this cup may not pass away from me. See, he understood without him saying, it's not going to pass away. He said, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Do you understand this scripture? The only way the cup passes away is to drink it. The only way it passes away is to drink. It will pass away when you drink it. I'm telling you this morning, there are some things in life that are hard to swallow. Just swallow it. If you want it to pass away, swallow it. How many ever had castor oil before? You need some. Everybody who's never had any, get some. Because you won't understand what I'm telling you till you take some. Mama used to give you, namely my grandma used to give me that castor oil, and I all knew the only way to make it pass away was what? Swallow it. I knew the quickest way out of this thing was swallow it. And Jesus realized the quickest way out of this thing is swallow it. And Lord, the only way it's going to go away is swallow it. No wonder he said, I'll make a way of escape with that temptation. Swallow it. I used to give Melanie little pills to swallow. And I'm telling you, that girl couldn't swallow a pill. I'd put it in her mouth, give her that much water. She'd drink all that water. That pill would still be on her tongue. I'd wrap it in bread and do it. And after a while, I'd get aggravated. I'd say, Melanie, just swallow it. You know how we do dogs. I didn't do that, though. I didn't do that. Some things in life are bitter. It was a bitter cup. He called it a bitter cup. Just swallow it. It'll get better. You won't taste it once it gets in your stomach. And so sometimes we have to pray, God, help me to swallow it. So James teaches us through Elijah, this mighty prophet, but yet he had like passions as we do. But he teaches us something about how to pray and how to go on with life. And now I want you to listen real close. Real close. If you hadn't been listening, wake up. Did you know it's raining outside? See, you heard that, didn't you? Okay, the Lord called for a famine in the time of Elias. Ahab was not praying. You hear what I'm saying? Ahab was unrighteous. Ahab was not seeking God about the battle. He was seeking men about the battle. Rather than praying to God, he said, I'll shut heaven up on him. I'll send him a famine. And I'll turn to a man who knows how to pray. Now watch close. Elias did not pray, Lord, send a famine. Lord, let the cattle dry up, Lord, from no water. Lord, let the streams dry up. Lord, I ask you. No, that's not what he said. He said, don't let it rain. Don't let it rain. All you got to do is don't let it rain. And the streams will dry up. The cattle will get lean. And the grass will wither. And everything will get brown. And the famine will come if it don't rain. And this man who knew how to pray was showing a man who didn't know how to pray and humble him to learn how to pray for rain. Whew. My God, don't pray for that kind of rain going on right now. We had enough of it. I wonder sometimes if we find ourselves in an affliction, in a sickness, continually faults that we continue to have. Is it because you're not praying? Could it be that God shut up heaven that you might pray for rain? Could it be you keep going through it and you keep rebuking the wrong thing when you really, all you need to do is pray for rain? The Bible says that Elias prayed and it rained not, the Bible says, for a space of 3 years. 3 years and 6 months. What a powerful prayer this man had. And I'm telling you, now Ahab's ready to pray. Where's that Elijah guy? I'm telling you, if you had enough of the famine, you got to pray to get out of it. And he wanted to know, where is your God now? Let's pray to that God now, because you prayed and it quit raining. Pray that it will rain. And the Bible says that he prayed again. Why? Not to get things back to normal. See, this is what this stuff is all about. It's only about normalcy. It's not about superiority. It's about normalcy. And so he said, pray again. And he prayed, and the heaven gave rain. Now watch. the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth its fruit. You can pray for fruit all you want to. Pray for the trees all you want to. Pray for the streams and the cattle and all your afflictions you got. Pray it all you want to. But if it don't rain, it ain't happening. If it doesn't rain, there'll be no fruit. I'm afraid we spent too much time rebuking and praying about the wrong thing. When what we need to do when you're in a drought of affliction, pray for rain. In sickness, pray for rain. In the continuous faults, pray for rain. Well, what is rain? Rain is the Holy Ghost. Rain is the Holy Spirit. He said, I will give you the rain in the former days, and I will pour out my Spirit in the latter days. I will pour out that rain. Rain was likened to the Spirit of God. You go stand out in this and see what happens. It'll drench you from head to toe. And you'll say, I'm soaked. But let me tell you, if it don't rain in your affliction and it doesn't rain in your sickness and it doesn't rain with your faults, you'll never have the fruit of the Spirit. Whereas what you need to pray for is, God, fill me with your Spirit. God, fill me with your power. God, fill me. Quit worrying about rebuking everything. Just get full of the Spirit of God. Get full of the rain. Get it soaked up in your life. And you know what? He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is all these things. And when he comes in and fills your heart with himself, he'll get to work helping you to praise him. Woo, let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Sometimes we keep rebuking the wrong thing, rebuking the famine, and when we really need to start praying that God fill me so full of your Spirit that it will take care of itself. The lady said, if I can but touch him, I'm whole. You know what she's saying? I'm normal. I'm normal again. What's wrong with normal? Nothing. There were people around the world. We complain because our cell phone's not working. I can't believe this dumb cell phone's not working. I want to go get me another one. I don't know if I've got my plan in a row or not. How many phones? And all this stuff. There are people that hate to see this kind of rain because their roof's leaking. It's made out of mud. They have no floor but dirt floors. See, we're praying about the wrong thing. What we need to pray is, God, put your Spirit in me so full and you'll take care of the rest. My body, you can heal my body. God, you can heal my mind. Just give me more of your Spirit. Because when his Spirit is present, it's like Moses said, if your Spirit don't go, if your presence don't go, I'm not going. Because it is the Spirit and the presence of God that heals people. Whew. My, I hope I'm getting through to you this morning. So if you find yourself, as they come this morning, in a dry and a barren land, you need to pray for rain. If you find yourself being afflicted and tormented by things of the past, if you find yourself that you keep falling, you can't seem to get up, you need to pray for rain. Pray for the Holy Ghost to come in you and fill you so full of his Spirit that he won't want you sick. He won't want you ill. Mom, he don't want you sick. You got Bible studies to teach. You got things to do. He wants you well. James closes this chapter. I want them all, y'all can all come. I know sometimes I'm kind of wishy-washy on when I want y'all to come, but I want them to sing this song. James closes this chapter. He said, brethren, if any of you do